One of the main themes of the book of Proverbs is the difference between laziness and diligence. And what I want to do in our study together this morning is I want us to look at some of the characteristics of the person who is lazy and compare them to the characteristics of the person who is diligent, the person who works hard, and then we'll consider what the consequences of both of those approaches will be. And I want to base it on a number of passages of Scripture in the book of Proverbs. I'm convinced that this is an area of common concern, a common need in our society. There are a lot of people who know things that they ought to do, especially in their service to God, but they oftentimes neglect them. They oftentimes are negligent. They don't act on the knowledge that they have of what they ought to do in serving God. They may not do what they should at all, or they may start to do it, and then they give up. In many cases, the problem is laziness. There may be other problems, but in some cases, the problem is laziness. And some people are lazy in the most aspects of their lives. Others are just lazy in spiritual things. And over the years, I believe I've met a number of people that are willing to talk about and study and learn about what God expects them to do, but they don't practice it. They may not attend the assemblies of the church as they know that they really should. They may not study their Bibles, may not pray like they know that they should. There may be habits in their lives that they need to change to please God. And even though they admit that they ought to do these things, they don't do them. And sometimes, as I say, the same lack of commitment shows itself in other areas of life, but sometimes it's just in spiritual things. So what I want us to do together today is I want us to, as I said, see what the Bible says in describing the lazy person versus the person who is a diligent, hard worker. And as we do this, each one of us should be asking ourselves, does the Bible description of the lazy man fit me? Or does the Bible description of the zealous and dedicated man fit me? Am I lazy in serving God? Can I honestly say that I'm zealous in the things that I know that I ought to be doing? So let's compare the two as they're described in especially the book of Proverbs. And the first thing they want to notice is that they're different in their work and in the attitude that they have towards their work. In particular, the lazy man tries to avoid work. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 25, please. Please, Proverbs 21 and verse 25. And notice here how it describes how a lazy man is trying to avoid work. 21 and verse 25. Says, the desire of the slothful man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Now I want you to notice, first of all, it describes this man as slothful or sluggard, depending on your translation. And the idea is, of course, that he's lazy. The passage says his desire kills him. That is, he wants to have things like everybody else has. It isn't, his problem isn't that he doesn't want things. He wants them. But he isn't willing to put forth the effort to obtain what he needs. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just dying to have so-and-so. Well, if the lazy man is dying to have something, then he may as well prepare to die because he's not going to do the work to obtain what he needs. He's got all kinds of excuses to not do what he knows he ought to do. And in many cases, puts forth more effort trying to get out of work than he'd have to put forth if he'd do the work. And spiritually, there are a lot of people then who really want eternal life. They certainly don't want eternal punishment. And they would be glad to let you try to help them be saved. They may let you teach them, may even agree to let you baptize them, because they really do want to go to heaven. But despite their desire, spiritually, they're not willing to do the work that's required to receive eternal life. And so like the passage describes, He has the desire, but his hands still won't do the work. Look in chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. Chapter 24 and verse 30 and 31. As in the scripture reading, it said, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And so here's the description of the effect that a lazy man has on his property, his possessions. And that's just not discussing a person who is a hard worker, but who due to circumstances beyond their control are just poor. There are people in the world like that, as Coit mentioned before the collection. People that are willing to work hard, but because of society or the economy or whatever, they're simply, it's due to circumstances beyond their control, they're just poor. But this is talking about a person who just is not willing to work. And a farmer whose fields are left unplowed, who are uncultivated, they're overgrown with weeds, and so on. The fences fall down. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18 talks about the house, the roof sinks in, and the house leaks because of slothfulness. And there are places, even in the United States, where you can go and then see this kind of thing. Certain districts in certain big cities sometimes, or out in the country in certain areas. And you go by a house, and here's a practically a shack with the paint's all peeling off, and the windows are broken, and the steps are falling down, and maybe here in the yard there's a bunch of weeds that haven't been mowed for a long time, and maybe an old dishwasher or refrigerator or an old car sitting there that hasn't run for years maybe. Meanwhile, the people are sitting there watching television. And the idea is, there's lots of work to be done, but they're not willing to do it. They're not willing to put forth the effort. The passage describes such people as slothful. Now, sloth is an animal that we don't have really around this area as far as I know, but they're a fairly large animal that lives in a tree. And the characteristic of a sloth is it's very, very slow when it moves. And that's the idea of the lazy man. If he moves at all, he has very little zeal, very little diligence in his commitment. And I probably have told you before about a book that our kids had when they were little. It was called The Sloth's Birthday Party. And described a sloth that couldn't understand why nobody ever wanted to come to his house. So finally decided he'd have a birthday party and invite people to come and come for birthday soup. And so they come, and of course as they walk in the door falls off its hinges. And they try to find a place to sit, and there's no place because all the chairs are covered with junk. And finally they move enough junk to sit down, and then they do the chairs collapse. And the birthday soup, he says, well, the flavor depends from time to time when he fixes it because it just depends on what happens to fall in. And then, of course, it starts to rain and the roof leaks. And the story ends when the roof collapses and floods them all out. And you might say, well, who could be that lazy? Well, of course, the point is an exaggeration, but there are lots of people that are just about that lazy. Spiritually, the world is full of people that are just that lazy. Temptation comes to their lives, and they just give in. Even when they know that it's not something that they ought to do, they don't resist the effort, and their lives are filled with whatever just happens to fall in, spiritually. They are too lazy to produce the fruits of righteousness. And that's the kind of person that Solomon is describing here, though he describes it with a farmer. The same thing is true spiritually for a lot of people. Chapter 26 and verse 15, again in the scripture reading, says the slothful man buries his hand in the bowl, but is too lazy to bring it to his mouth. So here's a man, the food has been prepared. It's even been set before him. Yet he's too lazy to even put it in his mouth. And again, it's an extreme exaggeration, but there are people that seem like they're just about that lazy. I've known families where everybody in the family expects the mother, the wife, to just wait on them hand and foot. The kids expect, of course, to have the house, the clothes clean, the house clean, the meals fixed, the house neat. And if that's not enough, then the mother has to keep track of everything for them. Mom, where's my blue jacket? Where's my homework? What did you do with my lunch pail? And on, she's expected to do everything, waiting on them hand and foot. And then the husband sits watching TV while his wife's doing all this work, busy around the house constantly, taking care of the kids and cleaning up all the junk that the husband's left lying around. And he's sitting there watching TV, and he says, honey, bring me a drink of water. Expecting other people to do work for us, and we do practically nothing, just like Solomon describes here. Somebody provides the food, you don't bother to put it in your mouth. And some people are just about that lazy, spiritually, if not otherwise, spiritually. God has provided the spiritual food that we need. He set it before us. Most of us have it in our homes. But do we put forth the effort to study it, to read it, and learn what it says? Too often we're too lazy to even pick it up and study it. Oh, we may let some Christian or some preacher come and spoon feed us, but we're not going to take the initiative to study on our own. And the end result often that happens is we end up swallowing whatever somebody puts in our mouth, spiritually. Look in chapter 6 of Proverbs, in verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? The little sleep, the little slumber, the little folding of the hands to sleep. And notice, the sluggard doesn't do just nothing. There are things he loves to do. He loves sleep. He loves relaxing. He loves taking breaks. Solomon's asked, when are you going to get up and go to work? There are many people who do not serve the Lord because they're too sleepy to get out of bed on time for Bible study. Well, worship services on Sunday morning. Then when they come, they try to sleep here. They don't come on Wednesday night because they're at home relaxing in front of the TV, and on weekends they have to get away, so they go fishing or whatever. We need to consider Solomon's question. When are we going to get up and go to work? For the Lord. That's the lazy man who is seeking to avoid work. But on the other hand, the Bible also describes then the man who is zealous. The zealous man looks for opportunity to do good. You don't have to compel him. You don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to pressure him. He's looking for opportunities to work. Look in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The scripture says that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Christ wanted to make us his, not just to be forgiven of our sins, but so that we could appreciate the value of working, that we need to work for him. Instead of making excuses to get out of work, we ought to seek opportunities to do more for the Lord. Instead of searching to see how little we can get by with, the zealous man seeks to find how much he can accomplish in serving God. And again, the book of Proverbs describes this in chapter 31 when it talks about the virtuous woman and the work that she does in her service to God. Proverbs 31 and verse 27. It says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The virtuous woman is not a lazy woman. And the chapter describes all the activities that she's involved in. And she is anything but lazy when you read the context. She doesn't have time to lie in bed for 10 hours a day and watch TV 3-4 hours during the day. There's too much to do. She's working for her family. And sometimes there are people today who look at a family where the wife is a faithful Christian mother and a homemaker. And they'll say to the husband, does your wife work? Does my wife work? Well, she cleans the house. She cooks the meals. She shops for the family food and clothing. She loves her children. She teaches them the Word of God. She trains them in the responsibilities of life. She takes the time to be a companion to her husband. She helps then outside the family, visiting the sick and the needy, the widows and the orphans. She practices hospitality. She's a teacher of that which is good to the young women. And if that doesn't include the time then for studying her Bible, teaching her friends and relatives the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people ask, does your wife work? As if to imply that somehow she's not contributing to society. The whole point of Proverbs 31 is that the virtuous woman is a hard-working woman, and if there ever was a time when families needed godly women who are willing to work at being wives and mothers, and a time when husbands and families ought to appreciate women to do that, I say the time is today. We need to appreciate hard work, and especially in particular, the hard-working wives. The man also is responsible to work hard. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, if he won't, he shouldn't eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, if he won't work to provide for his family, the passage says, he is worse than an unbeliever and is denied the faith. And there are multitudes of responsibilities besides the work of providing for our families that we have as men. Responsibilities in the church. Responsibility in helping people in the community. Spreading the gospel and teaching the word of God. This is not a time for Christians to be lazy. As we sometimes sing in a song, there is much to do. There is work on every hand. And so you and I as Christians have a responsibility to work, but it's a matter of choice. Whether we are the lazy person we talked about or the zealous person who's working for the Lord is up to us. We have the power to decide which kind of person we'll be, and we need to make the right choice, the choice of being diligent in working for the Lord. So that lazy man and the diligent man are different, first of all, in the work that they do, but they're also different in how they approach the problems, the hindrances, the things that would keep them from working. The lazy man, when he sees problems, well, that's just a convenient excuse. Now he doesn't have to work because he's got a problem, you see. And if there's no real problems, he'll make some up. Look at Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. And so, of course, the point is, of course, he can't go outside and do his work because he's afraid of the lion. He may get hurt. It reminds me of the children in the Bill Cosby routine. When they get in bed at night and it's dark, they're afraid to get out of bed because the monsters will get them or the snakes will get them. You know, well, that's the lion in the streets. You know, it's imaginary. It's not really there. But it keeps the lazy man from getting out of the house and doing his work. So he's always got an excuse, always a reason why he didn't do the job that he was supposed to do. 90% of the time, the reason doesn't even exist. And most of the rest of the time, if it was a reason, he could overcome it if he would. But the thing is, you see, he doesn't want to overcome it. He doesn't want to do the work. The problem isn't that there's a lion out there. There isn't any lion, or the lion could be avoided. The problem is he's lazy. That's the problem. He just lacks the commitment to work. And some of us have lions in the road when it comes to working for the Lord. We've got our excuses. Well, I couldn't come to services because I was too tired. Well, I couldn't come because one of the kids was sick. Well, the whole family has to stay home because one of the kids is sick. I couldn't come because we had company. Would you use those reasons to justify not going to work? You see, if we have those things happen, we still go to work, don't we? Well, why not then come to church services? At least some of the family could come. If somebody's sick, some stay home with the sick, but the rest of those could come. Or people say, well, I teach the gospel to my neighbors, but I just don't know how to do it. I can't do that. Or I don't have enough time to do that. I don't study the Bible because I just can't understand it. I've tried before and I don't understand it. There are times when people have valid reasons for not doing what they normally would do, but most of our excuses are lions in the road. Either the problem doesn't really exist at all, or if it does, we could overcome it if we would simply try hard enough. The problem is, we're just not trying. Look at chapter 26 and verse 16. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. He says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. You see, sadly, the lazy person is convinced himself in his own mind that his excuses are really justified. He doesn't have to do any more work than what he does. He's got reason. And his arguments are better in his own eyes, the pastor says, than seven people that have true wisdom can come and show him why he ought to be going to work. But he's got his reasons. He's got his excuses. And no matter how valid and good reasons you offer him, he's satisfied with his foolish excuses. And so remember that the man who does not want to work will always have what he considers to be a good reason for it. But just because he thinks it's a good reason doesn't mean God will accept it. The question for you and me is, are we serving God as diligently as we can, or are we just too concerned about the lions in the road? The diligent man, you see, overcomes his problems. If he possibly can, He refuses to allow barriers to hinder him from doing what he knows he ought to do. Look in Matthew chapter 25 and notice this comparison in the parable of the talents. Matthew 25. The first part of this parable is about a master who gives work to different ones of his servants. And the different ones who receive the work, the given the work, begins in verse 14. Two of them go out and they work hard and they use what the master has given them and they accomplish good work. And he rewards them. But in chapter 24 then, chapter 25 rather, verse 24, he talks about the third servant, one who was given just one talent. It says he would receive the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground, Lord, look, there you have what is yours. He's got an excuse, you see. His excuse is his Lord, my master. He's a hard master. Hard master. So I just took the money you gave me and I buried it and I'm giving it back. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, and so on. It goes on and pronounces a punishment upon. But notice the problem with the servant. The problem was not the master. He wanted to blame it on the master. But the master said, you're lazy. That's the real problem. Now, how do we know that the master, this lazy servant rather, was not justified on the basis of his master? How do we know that it wasn't the master's fault? And the answer is because the other two servants had the same master. But it didn't stop them from working. And you see, that's the point. The lazy man made excuses. The zealous man has the same circumstances. In this case, they had the same master, but they went out and got to work. They were committed to do the work regardless of whatever problems there may or may not have been to hinder them in their service to God. The zealous man will overcome the problems where the lazy man will allow them to keep them from doing his work. Consider the lives of men throughout the history of the Bible who have been known to be diligent to God. Why did they serve God? Did they serve God because they had no problems? There was nothing in their life that was hindering their service to God? Or did they serve in faith because they overcame the problems? Think of people like Abraham, Noah, Moses, Paul. Here were men that we know were successful in their service to God. They did the work that God wanted them to do. Did they succeed because they had no problems? There was never any hindrance? No difficulties to overcome? No. Most of them had more problems than most of us have. Why did they succeed? They succeeded because they were zealous enough to overcome the problems that they faced. The difference between the lazy man and the zealous man is that the lazy man is looking for ways to get out of work and the zealous man is looking for ways to get the job done despite the problems. The lazy man complains about the lion in the road. The zealous man knows there probably isn't any lion. But if there is, he's either going to scare it away or he's going to shoot it. He's going to get the job done if he can, despite the problems. And again, I say one of the main proofs that people's excuses are not valid is the fact that there are other people who have the very same problems, but they are zealous enough to get the work done anyway. People say, well, they can't come to services because they're tired, or company comes, or whatever. But here are other members who have the same problems, but they're able to come. And there are people who say, well, they just can't teach the gospel because they don't have the time or they don't have the ability. But here are other members with no more time and no more ability, no more natural ability anymore, and they keep working at it till they get the job done. You see? The point is, you and I have a choice which kind of person we will be. If we're lazy, it's because we have chosen that lifestyle. But we don't have to be that. We can change. We can make up our minds to be diligent in God's service. We can make up our minds to overcome the problems and the difficulties and accomplish the work that God has given us to do. So the question is, what is our choice in regard to working for the Lord? There's another area then that I want to look at and the difference between these two men, and that's the results. The lazy man doesn't want to work. The diligent man is willing to work hard. The lazy man lets problems excuse him. get in the way of his work. The diligent man overcomes the problems. But let's look at the difference then in the results in their lives. The lazy man is basically a failure. Everything worthwhile, everything that he's lazy in, he basically fails. In particular, he fails to accomplish the good that needs to be done. Look in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 9. The results of his lack of effort are described. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Says, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Now what does that mean? How is a man who is lazy like a man who destroys things? Well, because the end result is the same. What difference does it make whether or not I never go out and do the work, or whether I do the work and somebody else comes along and destroys it? The end result is the same. Either way, the benefit is not accomplished. There's no lasting good results. So you see, the lazy man is a brother to a destroyer. Whether I don't do the job at all, or I do it and somebody destroys it, it has the same end result. And the spiritual application then needs to be seriously considered. A member of the church who doesn't work is like somebody who's destroying the fruit of those who do work. What would we think of someone who we knew was deliberately attempting to destroy the good work done by the Christians in the church? What would we think about that? If anybody were deliberately doing that, we would say, surely that's not right. But the truth is, if I don't work in the church, where am I any better off than a destroyer? Somebody who's actually hindering the work. When I neglect the work of the church, I need to understand that I'm actually hindering the work the other people are doing. It isn't just the fact that I'm not accomplishing anything worthwhile. Worse yet, I'm actually hindering the other people in their work. They're discouraged. They want to work, but they're discouraged by the fact that they don't see me working. People that are weak in the faith, people that are new converts, are discouraged by the fact that they don't see me working. They know I should be working, but I'm not. People who are not members of the church are given grounds to criticize the hypocrites in the church because they see me not working. You see, when I'm a lazy man, I am akin to a destroyer. The good results that need to be accomplished are not being accomplished because of my laziness. And likewise, the end result is I don't please my master. Proverbs 10 verse 26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You see, vinegar to the teeth. How does vinegar taste? Set your teeth on edge, right? Makes your smoke makes your eyes water. It's irritating. That's the point. The lazy man is irritating to somebody who gives him a job to do, and it's not getting done. Well, when I neglect the work of the Lord, it's irritating to my master. You see? He sent me to teach the gospel. He asked me to practice a pure life, to study the Bible and pray and train my children to serve God. And when I neglect that, God views me as vinegar to his teeth and smoke to his eyes. He wants me to work for him. He expects me, and I'm not getting it done. If you own a business, what would you think if you had an employee who showed up one day out of every two or three? When he was expected to be there, out of every two or three days, he came one. And then when he did come, he sat and watched and expected everybody else to do the work. Would you be satisfied with that? But yet there are some members of the church that seem to think that that's satisfactory for them. Vinegar to the Lord's teeth and smoke to his eyes. We need to understand that's how the Lord views us when we aren't willing to do the work. And then ultimately, if we're lazy, we're simply not going to receive the reward that we'd like to receive. Look at Proverbs 24, again, in verses 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, and look at the end result of the slothful man. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns, its surface was covered with that nettles, its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. And you and I need to consider it well too. I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so your poverty will come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. The man who is not willing to work is not going to have the things that he wants and needs in this life. The person who professes to be a servant of God and doesn't do the work is not going to receive the Lord's reward either. He's going to be spiritually in poverty. And the end result leaves us in poverty, the passage says. Spiritual poverty. You see? It leaves a man as penniless as if he had been robbed by a thief. You see, again, what difference does it make whether I go out and I work hard and somebody steals the fruits of my labor or whether I just don't do the work at all? The end result is the same. And so my poverty comes like a robber, the passage says, or like a prowler. And so if I don't do the work, I'm as poor as if I'd done the work and a thief came along and stole it from me. I don't have what I need. The laziness is like a thief. It leaves you without the rewards of your labor. Spiritually, spiritual laziness will leave you and me without the reward of eternal life. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, the soul of a sluggard desires, but has nothing. That is, he doesn't have a reward. Rewards are the fruits of labor. You have to work to receive rewards. The lazy man won't work. He's not going to get the reward. If he's lazy in this life, he'll not receive the physical things he wants and needs. If he's lazy spiritually, he'll not receive eternal life. And so the servant in Matthew 25 and verse 30, in the parable of the talents, was cast into outer darkness because he was lazy. You cannot earn eternal life. Nobody's talking about earning it, but you need to work to honor the Lord, or he'll not give you the blessing of eternal life. So the lazy man fails. He simply doesn't accomplish what is important and needed in his life, especially spiritually. But the zealous man, the man who is committed and dedicated, that's the man who succeeds in everything that is truly worthwhile. Look at chapter 6 of Proverbs in verses 6 through 8. Chapter 6 and verse 6. And understand, the lesson now is to those who are lazy that you can change. You can become a zealous person. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, you see, the point that he's making is, if I'm not working like I ought to, I need to look at ants. Consider ants. Ants are some of the most industrious insects there are. When's the last time you saw an ant standing still? They don't stand still. You never saw one taking a nap. You know, they're constantly busy, constantly active and working. And the pastor says, as a result, its needs are supplied. It gets the job done. And so it has the food that it needs because it's willing to work. And the reason why it says to consider the ant is because you've got a choice. I've got a choice. I can choose to be like that ant. If I haven't been working for the Lord as I should be, I can make up my mind to work. I can learn the lesson. If I want the reward, I can go to work, and I need to go to work. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Here's the purpose of the instruction. Don't be the sluggish man. Don't be the lazy person. But show diligence that you can have your hope assured. And you do that, he says, by imitating those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Learn to imitate the hard worker. Don't imitate the lazy man. Imitate those who work hard, those throughout Bible history like we've talked about. Noah and Abraham and Paul and so Moses. Those men who were diligent in working for the Lord, set them up as your example. Imitate them. Be diligent. And then you have assurance of hope. And so the lesson for all of us is that we can inherit the promises. We can be diligent, but we've got to make the choice. It is a matter of choice. The Lord is calling us to be diligent, and we can receive the reward if we will choose. to be the dedicated worker instead of the lazy person. Now look at Matthew chapter 20. With me, please. And let's emphasize as we close that it is a matter of choice. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Where Jesus tells a parable, and he has various purposes for the parable, but I simply want to emphasize one point this morning, Matthew 20, beginning in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And they went. Then he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. He said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all the day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." The Lord is looking for workers. He's working for those who are willing not to be idle, but to work in his vineyard, spiritually, working for him. And there are people that are idle, but you don't have to stay that way. Just like in the example here. People who haven't been working, but the master says, "Go to work. I have a reward for you if you're willing to work." And the reward that our Lord in heaven has for us is eternal life. But not if we continue to be idle. The reward is there if we're willing to work. Some have never entered the vineyard. Some have never become Christians, have never received the forgiveness of their sins, have never begun the work for the Lord. Others have entered the vineyard and begun the work, but have quit serving. And so the question for you and me is the one the Lord asks you. Why do you stand here idle? Why not go work in the vineyard? Go to work for the Lord. He wants you to work. He's calling you to work. You can work. And the choice, as with the parable and the workers in the parable, the choice is yours. The Lord is calling. What will your answer be? Will you become a Christian this morning? Will you commit your life to his service? Have done that following in our prayers? Whatever need, won't you come and make it known as we stand and as we sing?